Welcome to the Improv in Practice podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Wilson, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on improvised theater with Synergy Theater. You can find Synergy Theater's classes, workshops, performances, and more at synergytheater.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y theater.com. Okay, lights down, curtain up. Hello, improvisers. Just like our last episode with Kat Coppett and Della Watson, we have two more back-to-back interviews for you in celebration of the first annual Diablo Improv Festival, October 24th through the 26th, 2025, at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek. Visit diabloimprovfestival.org to learn more. First, I talk with Jamie Rich, and then I talk with Randy White, the co-creators of Spontaneous Mind and co-producers of the festival. Jamie and Randy will also perform at the festival, and Jamie will teach the workshop Young at Heart. Randy said something during our talk that struck me as funny. Improv starts when the car doesn't. See, this is funny because Jamie joined her interview while she waited for roadside assistance due to a dead battery. I love it when life, with a wink, offers you that kind of synergy. On to the interview. Jamie Rich of Spontaneous Mind, I am happy to speak with you. How are you today?
I am doing well, thank you.
Oh, I'm glad. And thank you for taking the time to speak with me. Val would be here, but she had something unexpected come up.
Okay.
So tell me, what was the most recent thing you did that had to do with improv?
Most recent thing I did was Thursday. I teach all over, and I teach at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories. And I've been teaching there a couple years to their employees. And so I taught the last class in a 5 or 6 week series, and we did our first little mini, very mini show. The employees got to each invite anyone they wanted to invite. So we had a few audience members, but it was fun for them to do what they've been learning in front of a small, but still they were doing in front of people.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And they must be feeling like they're getting a lot out of what you are teaching them. What would you say are the ways that they are benefiting from your training?
I think that really all my students, I teach all over the Bay, and they get to work on being spontaneous, like having the courage to just spit things out without worrying that there'll be any reprisal. It's also one of the main components of every class I teach, but again, maybe, I don't want to say especially, but this lunchtime class at Lawrence is fun. And whatever they've been doing all day, sitting behind a computer, doing scientific or mathematical stuff or whatever they do there at the lab, is a chance to be silly, to play characters, to get a little out of your comfort zone and be with really like-minded, fun people. So that's a lot what they get out of it.
And how are you fulfilled by what you do?
I just love to see the magic that happens in the classes. I mean, from the apprehension, maybe in the first newbies, like, what am I doing here? What is this all about? To by the end of the first class, they're laughing and they're like, this is cool. And yeah, when's the next class? So it's great to see the light bulbs go off, and it's great to just feel the warmth in the room, and to see people having fun, playing, laughing is wonderful for me.
What inspired you to come together and co-create Spontaneous Mind?
Well, improv became my life basically two and a half years ago. I left my last nonprofit job because I already was really into improv and just decided I didn't need to do a job that I didn't particularly want to do anymore. And I sunk myself totally into improv. And my partner, Randy, who you'll be talking to later, and I, he is like-minded, and we did a lot of things together already. So we looked into forming a nonprofit that really focuses on, it focuses a lot of what we do in the teachings and the classes and the performances, but also it's about bringing improv, connecting it to regular life, not just the stage. How does improv benefit you in your day-to-day relationships, whether they be professional, personal? We just both have a passion for improv. And like, what else can we do with this? Well, let's form a nonprofit that's all about improv.
And here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And right. How were you brought into the group of producers for the Diablo Improv Festival?
We knew Ken Adams. Randy more so, had more of a history with him. But we both knew peripherally about each other and that we are kind of the only two troops or nonprofits out here in the East Bay. It was, I don't remember if it was a joint idea, but we had our first like lunchtime meeting and we both were like, okay, this sounds cool. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
What do you hope is one of the outcomes of the event?
There's a lot of outcomes I would say that I hope for. One would be a further awareness in this neck of the woods of improv, what it's all about and what it can do for you. I hope that it's a success financially and people-wise, more people-wise. I mean, financially would be wonderful, but I hope there's a lot of people. I hope that our first year is just people are talking about it and saying that was great and that was fun and those workshops were great and those performances were great. And that's, I think that's the main outcome I'd like. I'd like to see classes full, people laughing, people enjoying themselves, good reviews. I think that's probably what I would like.
I would love to speak a little bit more about your background in improv and how you have incorporated your passion and your past into training and educating and advocating for young people, especially, and substance abuse prevention. Can you talk about that?
I had a colleague who is all about opioid use prevention, and we did do two benefits for her organization. The real connection is people I used to work with in that realm. They put on a, called a Teens Tackle Tobacco Conference once a year, one for middle schoolers and one for high schoolers. And for at least two years, maybe three, I have taught a workshop on improv at that conference.
Now, Val said she was very sorry that she could not join. She also wanted to make sure that I say, please tell Jamie I enjoyed their Partners in Crime show with Arastu as a guest.
Yes.
And yep. I'm looking forward to attending her Young at Heart workshop. So
wonderful. Let's
talk about Partners in Crime.
So Partners in Crime is, again, Randy and I started this over two years ago as an idea. It's a connection to the Maltese Falcon. We play two characters. I'm the granddaughter of Sam Spade, and he is the grandson of Miles Archer. And we run a detective agency where we solve crimes. We've done 28, quote unquote, episodes, performances of this. People really like it. We solve crimes. And then our relationship is part of it too, what's happening between us. And we've played with amazing improvisers. We just had our finale at the Campbell Theater last weekend, where we played with two of our mentors, people who I've taken classes with, who are two of the best improvisers I know. It's been a wonderful experience, and it's ending at the Campbell, but we want to keep it going. We don't want Partners in Crime to just end. And we have started a new project within it called Partners in Crime Murder at the Theater. And it's a murder mystery. And we did one at the Campbell so far, and people absolutely loved it. And we loved it. And it's a whodunit. The audience helps us figure out who murdered the dead person. And we want to take that show on the road. It's kind of bittersweet that it ended at the Campbell because we have loyal fans who come to every single show. They know everything. We've solved every crime you can even think of. And people swear it's scripted because it's a fully improvised play of about 90 minutes to 2 hours. And people can't believe that we're making it all up.
Well, I'm sorry it's ended too, because I'm just finding out about it and would love to have seen a, in quotes, episode.
Yes. And I can let you know, we might do the murder mystery for our show in November. Yeah.
Okay. And tell me about Young at Heart and the workshop.
A population that I didn't necessarily intend to teach, like I didn't seek them out, let's say, are seniors. One class I do through Akalani's Adult Education, which is right near Rossmore, ended up being a class full of 70 plus year old. It's been eye-opening for me, and I've had to morph a lot of my usual things I teach because a lot of them are not very mobile. We usually do everything standing in a circle, and it's pretty active. But I've had to rethink, like, how can we do these things sitting? And how can I slow it down for any cognitive challenges that they're having? We just thought, we've got a teen workshop. We've got a kids workshop. Let's do one for seniors. It's almost like it's a regular class, but I won't do the most active of exercises, the ones where you have to walk across or run across or whatever, the stage. And again, slow it down. And it's just, it's great for seniors because it gets them thinking and working on things that they haven't worked on in a while. And it's that same, again, laughter, camaraderie, like this class I teach Dr. Kalani's, it now has been the same group coming back. They love it so much. That's kind of what the Young at Heart will be.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm guessing that people can find more information about services that you offer, including classes and performances, at spontaneousmind.org?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And what more would you like people to know about Spontaneous Mind and the Diablo Improv Festival?
Spontaneous Mind, we are open really to all opportunities. We will perform anywhere because we love it so much. We have a 10-person troupe. That's our next show coming up, is a troupe show where we do fun games and longer things. We love what we do. We are just a group that's like a family. I would encourage people, if anybody wants us at any event, please contact us. They can also contact me, jamie@spontaneousmind.org. I'm the executive director, so it's a good way to get a hold and learn things. About the Diablo Improv Festival is just be part of the first ever improv festival here in the East Bay. That we are partnering with the Lesher was one of just the biggest boons and yeses and doors opening for us. Preeminent location in downtown Walnut Creek and the heart of everything. We are very excited about bringing performers and teachers from all across the country here. It's going to be fun and it's going to be a learning time for everybody. And we have this really fun welcome reception on Friday night. It's just come one, come all, take one workshop, take two, attend a performance. There's something for everybody.
I am really looking forward to it. Thank you again for taking the time to speak with me. And I'm sure Val is looking forward to speaking with you in person at the Diablo Improv Festival. Val and I will be there at the opening night event. Jamie, be well. I hope that the rest of the day goes great for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And I will say hi to Val for you.
Wonderful.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Randy White, thank you so much for joining us. And I can't wait to talk to you about one of the best job titles I've ever seen. Chief Jesting Officer and Producer at Funny Bone Productions. How did you get that job title?
Well, one of the great advantages you have to creating a company is getting to name yourself. So I decided I didn't want to be a CEO. I thought a jesting officer, as it covered both sides of the aisle for me, because I do both improv and stand-up comedy, and I felt like I wanted to do both. Having since named myself a chief jesting officer, we use the Funny Bone production part of our business now strictly for stand-up comedy work, and we use Spontaneous Mind now for the improv side.
What do you love most about what you do?
The unexpected places and people you come across as a part of what it is you're trying to accomplish. I think in my old corporate life, where I was helping develop new products for nutritional companies, it was a much more linear path and didn't have some of the surprises that you come up with when you are working with the theater and the arts in general.
What are you hoping to accomplish now in your current stage in your improv journey?
I'm hoping to bring to light the flexibility and richness that is improv. I think improv offers things I hadn't seen before in other disciplines I've been involved in, like stand-up comedy or the corporate world, and that those very tools that we develop for improv could be applied across all walks of life, whether it be business or your personal side.
How have you seen improv benefit the people in your world?
One of the things that we tried to develop at Spontaneous Mind when we were doing our corporate work was breaking the tools that we use as performers down into easy bite-sized pieces so that they can take those with them to work. One of my favorite lines is, improv starts when the car doesn't. And that's true for everyone, not just improvisers, but when you have a plan and the plan doesn't come to fruition as you thought it might, you're in the improv world. So then how do we take that and make that work for us? And so I think for me, it is being able to share that information and knowledge across all parts of our life.
I feel like it's already there. These skills that you enhance in classes or in attending a talk that you yourself will give, those skills are already there, but maybe they would be dormant. What do you think?
I think that's a great observation. And one of the things that unfortunately parents do, being a parent of three myself, I have to lie on the sword for that as well. And that is that we train the improv out of our kids because we want them to comply with our rules and our regulations and get to your homework and eat all your food and all these different things. And a lot of the improvisation is taken away so that and replaced with predictability. You want predictability over improvisation. I liken returning to these dormant improv skills as to awakening the inner child in all of us. We all know how to play, but we're just not given permission in today's world as adults. We're told, you know, be in on time to work and follow the script. And this is not a script you can follow if you're going to be truly an improviser.
So what is your interest, and where did your interest come from in taking part as a producer for the Diablo Improv Festival?
It was an easy call for me. I'd have been having conversations, both Jamie and I have been having conversations with a friend of ours, Ken Adams. And Ken indirectly got me involved in improv to start with. I picked up my kid from an improv class way back when and saw this and said, hey, I'd like to do that. And then here I am these many years later working with Ken on putting together this festival. But knowing his devotion to the craft and Jamie and my devotion to the craft in wanting to see it spread far and wide and having people who have these dormant skills reawakened, what better way than to bring together people from all over who have found their way to this craft, this way of operating in the world, and have them share the tricks of the trade, how they got there, what their methodologies are, what are their standard operating procedures for creating a world where improv can not only live but thrive. So that's why I felt like it was a perfect setup to put this together with like-minded friends like Ken and Della.
And not just thrive, to build off what you're saying, but benefit those who are interested and take part and try. And there are so many rewards to be had in just trying improv, in attending an improv performance, It restructures your thinking. Would you agree?
Oh, totally. It awakens a mindset that had been laid dormant. It allows you to tap into skill sets and a whole nother register of mindfulness that allows you to play as a child and live as an adult, which is really pretty cool.
Very cool. What's the first thing that comes to your head as far as the first skill that it enhanced specifically for you?
What the word yes meant, the idea of acceptance. We hear it thrown around, yes, and is the quintessential phrasing for improv. And what does that really mean? And what I thought it meant and what I've come to find it meaning for me are different, almost a maturity of that thought, which is yes isn't just yes, it's acceptance of what's being created or co-created, because you and your partner on stage in real time are co-creating a universe. And there's no better way to feel welcomed and invited to create than to have someone accept your ideas going into any kind of endeavor. And we try to teach that across in the corporate world as well, because we think it's so important. But that's the thing that really has rung true for me over the years, which is start with yes, and comes as you add on to or collaborate to build this new universe that you've been accepted into.
How have you brought that attitude to your producing of the festival?
It's a great question. Really, that is keeping that mindfulness when you're in what I call adulting mode. You're trying to build out this entire festival, putting together workshops, scheduling, who's going to take care of what, division of labor, timelines and deadlines and all those things. And you really struggle to function without a script, if you will, in that world. But you can adapt, course correct. And that to me is the improv of this magic, is course correcting to continue to be the best version of whatever you're trying to create. And that's what I've kept in mind the whole time we're working on this festival.
Now, you and your fellow improvisers are groundbreakers in this. It is the first annual Diablo Improv Festival happening at the Lesher Center on October 24th over that weekend. You're like astronauts, groundbreakers, right? Does it feel like that to you? Or does it feel more like, oh, this needs to happen? The stars have aligned. What does it feel like for you?
I think more stars have aligned. I feel like a bit of destiny that I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I've learned all I've needed to bring to this party, so to speak, with all of the different experiences I've had, everything from doing Showtime's Funniest Person in America contest all the way to this moment. All those experiences blend together to make the consciousness that I can bring in a mindset to this function. And I really do. One of my other favorites is improv is like jumping out of a plane, a perfectly good plane for no apparent reason, and then stitching together a parachute on the way down. In that moment, you feel like you forgot all the skill sets and you know what you need to do, and it will come to you. The other line that's very famous, I want to say it's Del Close, but I could be misquoting, jump and a net will appear. I just felt like it was time to do this, and the right people were here at the same time, and we all decided to grab hands and jump.
Do you think that sounds scary to most people?
I think it could be very intimidating to anyone who hasn't had at least some experience in working with some of the tool sets that you're blessed with having once you've played in the improv game. I've been doing it. I'm probably a newbie in the group. I've only been doing it about 13 years, 14 years. And there's always something. One of the things you have to be humbled by is that you will always learn if you're open to it. So continue to be open to it. Don't be intimidated by it, but welcome the lessons you'll get taught. And if you do that, then you're probably not going to go wrong.
And what are you hoping to gain from the festival? You yourself, I'm assuming that you and Jamie are going to be there mingling and managing, but also taking part and enjoying. And like you say, being open to learning from the incredible group of talented improv performers, directors, instructors that are going to be there. What do you hope to gain?
I hope to find new questions. I hope to find new challenges. I hope to find other people who are willing, and I know this will be the case, to share their journey in terms of networking. And, we'll be performing and we'll be conducting and participating in workshops and enjoying the headliners, the groundlings, and we'll be able to see all these different things. And whatever doesn't teach you something may reinforce something you already know or that you wanted to have reinforced. So it's all out there. You just have to be open to it. And I'm hoping that I'm going to find new questions that challenge me to be better version of myself.
When you think about the future of improv, what are the first things that come to your mind?
I'm an oddball in that while I appreciate the attention that things like Whose Line has brought to the general public in terms of attention to improv, I'm hoping to have more people recognize that it's a craft that can also do the drama side of life. It can be dramatic improv. We just came back from Chicago where we did a festival that was all drama, and it was amazing to see this art form tilted in that direction. So I'm hoping that we just continue to see an expansion of this and that it can be successful and entertaining and engaging in all aspects, whether it be dramatic or comedic.
Well, we've talked about the many benefits that improv has to offer you, me, anyone who wants to try or is curious or takes part in even just a performance. What are some of the challenges right now that you see that improv has?
One of the problems that, and I put that in big air quotes, as everyone wants to put something in problems, but I liked your word of challenges. Definitely a challenge to any art form that's going to use a stage is finding enough stages. Venue acquisition and availability can be a real challenge for a new group or even to find a place where you can have a good teaching venue. Those can be challenging, and it is not an art form that heretofore has been showered in grants and dollars of falling from the heavens to help us with this. We run a nonprofit within this, as does Ken. And in that capacity, we're not in this thing to make a king's ransom that we can live off of. We're here to spread the word. And sometimes that presents challenges in terms of funding places to spread the word. So that's kind of where I see the biggest challenge is continuing to find good places to allow people to have great experiences to share the magic of improv.
Well, it's an amazing opportunity to have the Lesher Center for the Arts in Walnut Creek as a partner in that. How has your experience with the Lesher Center been so far?
Well, fantastic. I was lucky enough to start working with them 10 plus years ago. When we first started doing improvisational theater there in their smaller theater, and in the process, getting to see what a tremendous venue it is. And now, working with the staff there, it's plain to see that they've carried that tradition on these many years. And it's so great to have a big brother, if you will, who also is a nonprofit, step into a place where they are able to provide that very thing that I said was such a big challenge. They have to be able to balance bringing things that maybe are a little off the beaten path, along with things that will be big money makers because they have such broad appeal. And so I love the way the Lesher has always found a way of striking that balance and rewarding the arts for simply being something that people should be afforded the opportunity to experience.
How has your experience as being part of Spontaneous Minds, Partners in Crime?
Yes.
How has that experience enhanced your goals right now as a producer, performer, and on? How has that enhanced what you're doing now?
Well, Partners in Crime was experimented in the beginning to find out if we could translate what had been game formats into something that could hold stage time for an hour and a half fully improvised play that lacked a lot of the things you might find in a scripted production. And so Partners in Crime has been a wonderful playground for Jamie and I to try out Reoccurring roles, for example, is kind of unheard of in the improv world, not very common nonetheless. And so we did a serial in over a, now we've done 28 episodes and we've taken it on the road and done it various places. It's wonderful how you learn that the application of improv can be applied to things like reoccurring roles, for example, which is very unusual in improv. So we play the same detectives, Sam Spade and Bo Archer, who are descendants from the Maltese Falcon fame. In doing so, we're able to see sort of the intersection of scripted theater and unscripted theater, if you will. And so that has been a great opportunity for us to understand to a greater degree how dramatic improv can help people solve challenges in their own lives through an art form. In this case, we're really role-playing for some folks, and this teaches the skills that would allow people to role-play and then work out different things that they have going on in their life. So that's sort of it in a deeper dive, I guess. But I've loved Partners in Crime. It's been a big part of my life over the last 3 years.
What I'm gathering is that you're thinking, this has benefited me so much. I know that this can benefit other people. This practice, this performance, this idea, this way of learning, it can benefit so many people. I've got to get this out more in the world. Now, I understand that people can reach out and get in touch with you and Jamie and learn more about your classes and performances and the other things that you offer on spontaneousmind.org.
That is correct.
What else would you like people to know about your efforts there and then also about the Diablo Improv Festival?
Well, in terms of what you might find at spontaneousmind.org, if you don't find what you're looking for, ask us and we might be able to create it for you. And as far as the Diablo Improv Festival, we are at the very early stage for creating something we hope will be an ongoing experience that the more you get involved with us, the greater the experience will be for everyone. So please, don't hesitate to reach out to us, step forward, volunteer, help us make this the best festival ever.
More people to the table means that the feast gets even better. Is that what I hear you saying?
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit more about the challenges specifically with producing this event. Now, we talked about the location. We've got that. We have an incredible partner there with the Lesher Center. What other challenges have you and the other producers been facing in bringing this first annual improv festival in the East Bay to life?
I think one of the things that is underrated as a challenge is that just the scheduling of all these performers from all over the East Bay, California, other parts of the country who are coming here to this event and trying to make sure you put our best foot forward and accommodate for them and understand that here they are coming to you to help you put on your festival and you want to help them be the best version of themselves in an artistic manner, but also logistically, everything from lodging and so on. And so we've been in touch with and working with the Concord Chamber, the Walnut Creek Chamber, even the Martinez Chamber of Commerce, and trying to avail opportunities for these artists to find places to get lodging or whatever other needs they might have. So I think one of the biggest challenges that I certainly hadn't thought through, I don't think as much, which was beyond the performance, what else is there that we need to help them with as people, not just as improvisers?
That's right, because their time at the festival is not limited to the time that they are at the Lesher or on stage.
Exactly.
What's your experience been like in touching base with the different performers?
I don't know if it's unique to improv. I would guess not, but I certainly like to think so some days. That is that we all have this core belief that this art form is worthy of attention and growth and experience. And it's more than a club. It's almost a calling. You don't do this because you're going to get wealthy. You could do it because it's going to make people's experience in life better and improve opportunities and mindfulness. And it's like we're an unwritten rule that we want to help. You know, we're all about the same cause. And I'm just heartened by how many will bend their requirements or step a little higher or dig a little deeper to try to make sure that they can do what's required of putting together a show like this. And that might be teaching it, it might be performing it, it might be just attending it, but everyone's happy to do it because they believe in the cause. I think that's usually why medals are awarded, because someone believed in the cause.
I anticipate that by the end of the event, each of the producers are going to feel even more full of improv and enhanced by, like you say, the cause. What do you hope will be collectively in this group that you're working with to produce the festival? What do you hope will be the tone of the final meeting?
That we confirm that it's not about each of us, it's about all of us.
And that together you are better and you've proven it and stronger. And I'm hoping that at the final meeting after the event between the different producers, you're all thinking, okay, hey, what else can we do?
That's right. If we can do this, what else can we do?
Let's say you have a magic wand. How would you use it?
How would I use it? Wow.
A magic improv wand.
That everyone would get a chance to experience what my greatest moment. And by that, I mean not the something I did, but what in all of our collective experiences, we have a moment we go, gosh, that was just so perfect. I hope everyone gets that moment. I hope everyone, if I had a magic wand, would get to experience a moment like the greatest moment I can think of for myself and have that happen for them. Even if it's just a passing moment during the festival where you just know, oh, that was just perfect the way I saw it, the way I felt it, the way I experienced it. I would like for everyone to have at least one of those moments.
What else do you think people should know at this time? And at this time, by that, I mean someone who maybe, like me, has tickets to the festival and is full of anticipation.
Just that they're like-minded folks who are there, who, if you get an opportunity, maybe at the welcome reception on that Friday or just passing between shows, share a smile, high five, a knuckle bump, something that connects, connect with people and find out you're not alone. In fact, they're all converging on one place for 3 days. And in that place, in that space, in that time, you can either volunteer, you can attend, you can be in a workshop. All those different things are open to you. And it really depends on what it is you want and are willing to allow to be exposed to that could help change maybe your life, maybe your direction, maybe your attention, maybe your mindfulness, but give you an opportunity to experience it so that you have an opportunity to get to a place you've never been before.
What would you like people to know about Spontaneous Mind?
That we are about the entire spectrum of improvisational application, that we're not just workshops and we're not just classes and we're not just performing, but we're all those things. And we're about things that we haven't even thought of yet, but that you might bring to us and say, have you thought about this? And we may end up doing it together.
Is there anything else that you would like to talk about or make sure that we convey?
Our sincere appreciation for the opportunity to spread the word, because in the end, if we get the word out to enough people, the right people will hear and they will come.
This has been a very enjoyable interview. Thank you so much. I hope that we've touched on all the bases that you wanted to touch on.
It was a great opportunity and I appreciate it very much.
I hope I get the opportunity to meet you in person at the run-up event to the festival, the meet and greet the Friday before, and then over the course of the festival, I hope I get the chance to give you a high five.
My five will be your five.
Okay.
We'll
Thank
see you,
you
then.
Thank you, Randy, so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye. And that's our show. If you think improv sounds like fun, it is. If you think you'd like to try improv, it's easy. Just go to synergytheater.com and click on School of Improv. Synergy Theater offers beginner, advanced, and master classes. Synergy Theater is also on Facebook. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast. Your support makes a difference. Synergy Theater is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit that depends on the participation of current and future star supporters and improvisers like you. Thank you.